We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Happy New Year. I know it's really late in the year. I just wanted to get it out one more time. Happy New Year. The year's still new to me, although I was really shocked to realize it's February. I just woke up the other day and realized that for the first time. I'm slow at things. We want to see you have the best year ever. Are you off to a good start? Do you feel like you're having that best year ever? We want it to be your best year ever, ever, ever. You've never had a better year than this. That's what we want from you, for you. We've been talking about 2020 vision. We've been talking about vision. We've been talking about mission. Y'all remind me, what is mission? Mission is the what. What are you going to do? That's the mission. You need to know what you're called to do, what God would have you to do. You need to be brave enough to tell someone else what you are called to do. Be bold, believe in it. And then the vision, mission is the what. So what is vision? Vision is the how. How are you going to accomplish the mission? How are you going to accomplish the what? All right? You are a unique individual called by Jesus Christ. You aren't called to be like the person down the street. Maybe there's a different how for you than someone else. I really believe strongly that Redemption Church has a different how than most churches. Yes, we're going to preach the gospel. That's the what. But we're going to do it differently, and we're going to reach a whole new demographic of people. That is our mission and our vision. Today, I want to talk to you about something that you can waste. You can waste this thing. You can try to buy yourself some more of it. You can save it. You can spend it. Some people think it is of the essence. It is on our hands at times. And it flies when you're having fun. What am I talking about today? Time. Very good. Very good. Look at that. Good job. We're talking about time today. Have you ever said to yourself or thought these words, if I only had the time. We've all said that, haven't we? We've all thought that at times. I could do so much more if I only had the time. I would start a business. I'd go back to school. I'd adopt a child. I'd volunteer in ministry. Oh, what I would do if I only had the time. How much time do you need to accomplish your dreams? How much time is that? What does that look like? Ballpark figure. I mean, we say that all together, so let's push ourselves a little bit. Okay, so how much time you need? How much time you need? How much time do you need to accomplish your dreams? To save a life, how much time do you need? To change your family forever for the better, how much time do you need? How much time do you need to change the world? The guy on the screen, we're going to be popping up his picture any moment. You may not know it, but this guy changed the world in a short amount of time. Oh, we named him, so everybody knows him. That's Buddy Holly, everyone. Take away all the mystery. That is Buddy Holly, right? That cool-looking dude is a rock star, lowercase g, god. All right, like that. This guy changed rock and roll forever. Forever. What town is this guy from? Lubbock, very good. And Lubbock around the 50s and the 40s, right? He grew up during that time. And so Lubbock was just a little blip on the map. And this guy with great glasses started a band in that small town called Lubbock, Texas. And he became a pioneer of rock and roll. He was involved in inventing this great medium of music called rock and roll. His band is called what? The Crickets, very good. Very good, Marshall. I'm very proud of that. And his name, of course, is Buddy Holly. Some young guys in Liverpool, London, in England, Liverpool, England, got a hold of a Crickets album, and they started their own band. They decided, after hearing the Crickets play, they decided to start their own band. They called it what? The Beatles. Sir Paul McCartney has said publicly that there would be no Beatles without Buddy Holly. So I ask you this. How long was Buddy Holly's music career? Think about this for a moment. He reached all the way around the world. He is an influencer of many people's music, including the Beatles, who went on to influence, I don't know, everyone. How long did this guy have a music career? Anybody want to throw out a guess? 1 year, that's a great guess. Buddy Holly's career was cut short when he tragically died in a plane crash just 18 months after his first concert. Just 18 months. A year and a half. 18 months. He changed the world of music forever in 18 months. All the music on your Spotify playlist right now is influenced by this guy, except that screamo music that Scott listens to. I don't think that's influenced by anything. Scott's not here. That's what you get, Scott. I'm going to diss your music. All the music that you've listened to is literally influenced by this guy from Lubbock. Could you change the world in 18 months? Could you do that? 18 months from today, boom. Could you change the world? A concession stand worker in Miami, Florida. Man, this is a great story already. Son of immigrants who lived in an impoverished area, he worked the concession stands at Dolphin Stadium throughout high school. 4 years later, Rashad Fenton returned to that very same stadium and won the Super Bowl for the Kansas City Chiefs. That happened last Sunday. 4 years later. Could you go from climbing up the stairs, selling people Diet Coke and cotton candy, to being the person on the field being handed the trophy? Could you do that in 4 years? Could you go from concessions to champion in 4 years? Could you do that? I want to tell you, you can do anything. All you got to learn is how to take advantage of time. 4 years, 18 months, a day, a year, doesn't matter how long. The key to all of it is learning how to take advantage of your time. Time management is an important skill. You're not going to be talking a whole lot about time management, but it would do all of us good to just go to that self-help section and just pick up a book on time management, because we stink at time management. Okay? All your goals that haven't come true, you've had enough calendar time, but you haven't managed that calendar time, and so you're still standing with an incomplete project, an incomplete dream, and it's because you've been given time, but you haven't managed your time. The best, the very best, God-sent mission and vision means nothing if you don't take advantage of your time. I'm telling you, an angel of the Lord could come to you just like in the Bible, tap you on the shoulder, and tell you this is your mission in life. And as powerful as that is, that means nothing if then you don't manage your time to take up that mission and to see it prosper. It means nothing. It means nothing. Can you imagine that? An angel of the Lord talking to you. But it doesn't mean anything if we don't manage our time. The world is filled with people who set their goals but don't use their time to accomplish. This happens every year, of course, right? New Year's resolutions. And we have been those people, right? Yeah, this is the year. I want to be in shape, all right? How much time have you spent in the gym? This is the year I want to learn things. I really want to learn a trade, all right? How much time have you spent reading this year? How much time have you spent researching? How much time have you spent practicing? I want to be a musician one day, all right? Let's clock you. How much time have you spent at that piano? How much time have you spent trying to sing? How much time have you spent, my goodness, learning your skills? How much time have you spent doing these things? The world is filled with people who set amazing goals, but then don't give it any time. And that's weird, isn't it? I'm not preaching to anybody today. I want to tell you that it's time to accomplish. Can you say that? It's time to accomplish. Today is the 2nd of February 2020. You have hopes, resolutions, you have visions, you have missions, you have dreams, you have desires, you have hopes. But have you spent time to accomplish them. Today's February 9th, and by my math, that is the 40th day of 2020. Today is day 40 of the new year. Are you satisfied with how you've spent your time today? Are you? If you are, good for you. If you aren't, I'm so glad you're here because I'm going to talk to you about it. Your Bible has a lot to say about time. Your New Testament uses two different words that we just simply translate time. This is why sometimes you need to look past the English translation and look into the original Greek or the Hebrew. I'm going to give you two words. They mean vastly different things, but we just stamp the word time on it, and so we just read right past it, and we miss the deeper, larger scope meaning. Those two words are these. Chronos. Say chronos or chronos, right? And kairos. Everyone say kairos. One more time. Chronos and kairos. These words are very different. Let's talk about chronos first. This Greek word is the root word of our words like chronological, chronic, chronicle. See this? All right. Chronos means an ordered time, a linear time, seconds ticking by in order, minutes, days, years passing in order. Even while I'm talking to you, chronos, time is ticking by. This time only runs in one direction, runs forward, and it runs in order. It doesn't skip. Doesn't do that. Chronos is used 53 times in your New Testament. For example, John 7:33, Jesus said, "I am with you for only a short time, chronos. And then I'm going to the one who sent me." Chronos can be a short time or a long time. It can be seconds. It can be centuries. Chronos time is valuable. Chronos time is a gift from God. Psalm 90 and 12 says this, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of," anybody know the next word? "Wisdom." Teach us to number our days. Do we take our days for granted? Do we just throw away hours here and there? Weekends? Months? I want to tell you that using your time correctly is wisdom. It's foolish to waste your time. Can I tell you something? Don't let people waste your time. There's some relationship out there. They're wasting your time. Hey, listen, y'all listen to me, young people. Boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, some of them are an absolute waste of your time. Somebody say amen. Amen. Whew, all right, glad y'all believe that. Because it's true. It's absolutely true. In fact, I would tell you that you need to take your time, get your life in order before you have one of those relationships, right? Do that. I would recommend strongly that you don't need to date in high school. You need to be the best high school student. I would even be as radical enough to say, no, you don't need to date in college. I know that's not popular. I practice what I preach. Two reasons. I couldn't afford a girl. I still can't. But I couldn't afford one in college financially or time-wise. My goodness, it was all the time I had to keep my head above water in college. I needed to use that time wisely, and I definitely didn't have the time to throw away on a relationship that wasn't good for me, that had no future, a relationship of somebody going an opposite direction of the direction I was going, which was towards God, a life of ministry. My goodness, I'm telling you, do not let people waste your time. Can I tell you something? Let's go a little further. Some of you are in jobs that are wasting your time. And I'm not telling you go out today and quit your job, but I'm going to tell you start using some chronos time and look for a better job. Start praying for a better job. Put in that resume. Get that better job. Go ahead. Some of you are actually in a job and you need to be in college. Go do it. Go do it. You've been given the time. You've got the gift to go do it. Stop wasting your time. Newsflash, there are no Netflix degrees. Some of us have four-year degrees in Netflix. Working on my doctorate in Netflix. I'm taking a heavy load this semester. Couldn't make it to church today. I'm watching the latest little Netflix little show, right? And you know, my goodness, you know this, that they are so good, they'll just start that next episode without you asking. And it's already started. It's already started. I can't stop. It would be rude now to stop this show, right? And that just grabs your time. It takes your time. Your time is a gift. Your time is important. Don't let people waste your time. I remember when I first got Netflix, I felt like I had this responsibility to watch anything. Like I would be watching stuff and I'd go, gosh, this is awful. Just eating popcorn. Just like, this is terrible. I'll pick another one in an hour and a half. And like, what are you doing? And I just had this revelation. You don't have to watch everything on Netflix. If it stinks, you can turn it off and do something else with your time. You could actually go be a person and go hang out with friends and go have a life, right? That was me. Thank the Lord he brought me through that. But Kronos time, it's too valuable to spend on wasteful things. It's too valuable to spend on another Nick Cage movie. It's too valuable to spend on anything like that, all right? Teach us to number our days. Buddy Holly didn't just sit around those 18 months. He became a world-changing musician. He worked his guts out. I will tell you this. This is something that's true of every great musician. They go through long periods of calendar time where they spend 4, 8, or more hours a day pouring in to their instrument. 4, 8, or more hours a day pouring in to their instrument. Every virtuoso, every amazing talent out there spent a long time, a long amount of chronos into their music, and it shows. What does your amount of work show? Have you been putting a lot of chronos into your time? Well, I guarantee you, Buddy Holly sat with his guitar, and he sat with his guitar, and he sat with his guitar. Rashad Fenton didn't just wait for things to come his way those 4 years. Well, I'm working in this concession stand. I'll wait for somebody to come up to me and give me an opportunity. It does not work that way. And Rashad didn't do that. He worked out. He trained himself. He played hard in high school. He played hard in college. He went through disappointments. And somehow, some way, he was drafted. And he would tell you that the day he was drafted, that was just the beginning of more work until he found himself in the Super Bowl. And guess how many catches went against Rashad Fenton in that Super Bowl? 0. My man, the rookie, shut down San Francisco 49ers' best wide receivers, Vicky. He worked hard for that. Do you see that? Do you feel that? Are you working? Are you taking advantage of the chronos time you've been given? There's a man in your Bible named Nehemiah. Can you say Nehemiah? He received a God mission. It's one of my favorite places in the Bible. He receives a God mission, and it shakes him to his very core. It reaches down into his heart. When he heard from someone else about his homeland, Jerusalem, how Israel laid in ruins, how the walls of the city have been burnt, the gates of the city had fallen, how the temple was no more, how everything laid in ruins, and there were just a few people there who lived in squalor. When he heard this, here is what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4. It's like the very first thing in this book. Look at this. When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days, I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Have you ever received a God mission that hit you in the heart and it made you sit down and cry? God does that. And we should never, men, we should never be ashamed to sit down and cry about the mission that's in front of us. Now, here's the thing that Nehemiah did that a lot of us don't do. He didn't just leave it at the goosebumps. He didn't just leave it at the feeling. He didn't leave it at the emotional display. He went further, and for some days, he mourned. You ever see the commercial with the, in the arms of an angel? What are they talking about in that commercial? Puppies and kitties. And you're just sitting there going, oh, those cats. And I just want to hug all the cats. And they get the music going. They're playing that Sarah McLachlan tune. And then they've got puppies behind cages. They're in puppy prison. And it's in slow motion. And they manufacture it perfect to where it hits your emotions. And you're like, oh, that's just so amazing. And then there's a Geico commercial, and you're over it. And none of us picked up the phone and called. There's all these kind of tear-jerking commercials like that. And we feel it, but then we don't do anything about it. I want to tell you, churches are filled with that. Churches are filled with you felt it, you cried, you had an emotional thing, but then Monday was like any other ordinary day. Tuesday was like any other ordinary day. And suddenly you're like years down the road and you go, yeah, I do remember that. I remember this one time I was really affected and stuff. Man, I didn't do anything with that. Nehemiah did something with that. God wants Redemption Church to be so touched in the heart that it causes us to weep, that we can't live the same way any longer. That for days, until this problem is fixed, we'll mourn. That we just won't have any other ordinary days. We're mourning and we're fasting and we're praying to see it accomplished, to see the thing that God put on our heart accomplished. My goodness, you need that in your life. You need that from God. You need that for your family. You need that for your career. You need that for your education. You need that in every area of your life. You need it. You need it. Nehemiah didn't waste time complaining. He didn't wait for someone else to handle the problem. My goodness. Let me tell you. Let me just be a little honest, Leroy. Can I be honest, Leroy? Here's something you get as a pastor a lot. People bring you their burdens. Like, I was really, in my emotions, I felt this one thing, and I thought, you should do something about it. And they lay it at my feet, and they're like, no, sweetheart, you pick this up. This is for you. This burden is for you. Don't wait on someone else to do it. You do it. You do it. Nehemiah, he did more than just feel the need, more than have the tears. Nehemiah was timely. Nehemiah 6:15 tells us that he finished the walls in 52 days. That's huge. That's amazing. The entire walls of the city, he energized a bunch of people that were just basically homeless, and they built the walls in 52 days. Can you say timely? That's Chronos time. 52 days. In 52 days, he had victory. In 52 days, he had accomplishment. In 52 days, he had fulfillment. In 52 days, he saw a miracle. In 52 days, he saw powerful things transpire. In 52 days, he changed everything about the future of that city in a short amount of time. 52 days. We're at 40 days in this year. We're really close to 52 days. Nehemiah would be finishing up his project right now as we are speaking. Where are you in your project? Where are you? Can you change the world in 52 days? Can you bring victory? Can you bring an overcoming hope to people in 52 days? I'm going to tell you, you have Chronos time. And with Chronos time, you can accomplish anything. You can accomplish anything. I'm not smart enough. Guess what? That's the great thing about Chronos time. You might not be smart enough, but with enough Chronos time, you can become smart enough about any one thing. I'm not talented enough in that. We'll take Chronos time, go get talented at it. Chronos time. With Chronos time, you can accomplish anything. Chronos. Everyone say Chronos. And then we have Kairos. Say Kairos. Kairos is also translated time, but it's a very different word. It is a present, opportune time. Kairos is always present. Kairos is the right time, suddenly in the present. An opportune season, right now in the present. It is God's timing. It is a God moment. Kairos is a God moment. Galatians 6:9 is an example of Kairos. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, Kairos, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, Kairos, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says it like this. I tell you, now is the time, Kairos. It's the opportunity, and it's right now for God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Can I tell you that Kairos is a salvation moment? Every salvation moment was a God moment. Every salvation moment is a Kairos moment. You've got ticks on a clock, but then you got a time where the Lord of glory reaches down from heaven and touches a heart, where God from heaven reaches down and does something supernatural on earth. That's what Kairos is. It's supernatural, and it works only in the present. Only in the present. Chronos and Kairos are both important, but very different. Chronos is about quantity. In fact, the world is filled with people that just want to live longer. If they could just stave off death a little bit longer, they just need some more time. They want some more Chronos time, more time to themselves. They want enough money to have a longer weekend. More time. Everybody's working for the weekend, right? Who's saying that? Loverboy. My gosh, my man is on it today. All right. Kairos isn't about quantity. It's about quality. Kairos is completely different. Chronos is about a time either in the past or the present. Well, you know, just a few seconds ago, that's Chronos. You know what? Tomorrow, Chronos. And usually when we're talking about our time, we're talking about something that's already happened. We're talking about something that will happen. But we're very rarely talking about right now. Kairos. Chronos. Kairos is all about the present. Kairos only works in the present. Chronos is a time where you could work. Kairos is a time where God will work. God's Kairos timing is different from our Chronos timing. And I want to tell you that God's Kairos timing is better than our Chronos timing. Do you believe that his timing is better than yours? They used to sing an old gospel song. It says, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Whoa, on-time God. Yes, he is. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. Ba-doom, ba-doom, because he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. That is not Chronos time. You see, you've been waiting on God to show up, and you're like, well, he told me 1 minute ago about this promise. And there are people that receive a promise, and they're just looking at their watch for the promise of God to take place. It doesn't work that way. It's not minutes on a clock. It's not time like that. No, it is God's timing. And this sentence comes up all the time. When the fullness of time came, when it was the appropriate time, when it was God's will for it to happen, that is when it happened. That's Kairos time. That's not Chronos time. That's Kairos time. And God can accomplish more in a single Kairos moment than you and I could accomplish if we pulled all of our Chronos time together. If you and I took every minute of our life, pulled it all together, and worked with singular mind towards one thing, it would not even come close to what God can do in Kairos time. 2 Peter 3:8 tells us this about God's timing. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years. And a thousand years are like a day. God's time is crazy. We can't hardly even think about a thousand years. But for God, a thousand years is like a day. Now imagine what you can accomplish in a day. And then imagine what God can accomplish in a day. There's no comparison. Because it's you working for 24 hours. It's God working for 24 hours times 365 times 1,000. And that's just numbers. Y'all, that's just numbers. A single day for God is like 1,000 years for you and me. Chronos is time for you to accomplish. And you need time to accomplish your goals. You need to have that time. You need to take advantage of the Chronos that you have today. But Kairos is time for God to accomplish. Can I tell you, it is time for God to accomplish in your life. It's time for God to bring it about. It's time for God to work the miracle. It's time for God to heal you of the bitterness and the unforgiveness. It's time. It's time for God to lead you out of your fear and into faith. It is time for God to accomplish. If I had to pick between a lot of Chronos time and a single Kairos moment with God, it would be a real simple choice. I would choose a single Kairos moment with God. I've had a lot of Chronos in my life. A lot of seconds, a lot of minutes, a lot of years. But when I think about the most amazing moments in my life, they are not defined by a minute or some time interval. They are defined by God, who is eternal, stepping into my life and touching me with a Kairos moment. You've heard me give you testimonies. Those moments are amazing to me. And those moments, you don't even remember about the time. I don't know how much time I spent in that Taco Cabana parking lot. It had to have been at least an hour. I'm not sure, but it seemed short because God met with me at that moment. When God did a miracle for me, I can't even define it with time. It's Kairos. It's not defined by time. It's defined by God being present. You need to take advantage of that Chronos time, but you've got to have a Kairos moment with God. If you have a God-given vision and mission, you're going to need a God moment to accomplish it. Maybe you've been trying to do it all on your own. How's that working for you? Why don't you have a God moment where God reaches in and God does it? Who could have parted the Red Sea? Could Moses have? Could any of those Israelites done it? No, God only needed a moment, and God did it. Who could have raised Lazarus from the dead? Who could have done it? Could Mary and Martha done it with their love? Could the disciples have done it? No, God did it. When Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," all he needed was a moment. All he needed was that Kairos moment. Who could wash away your sins? Who could forgive you? Whose blood could flow from a cross, from Calvary, and wash over every one of your sins? Could you have done that with your own goodness? Could you have done that with your own trying to be perfect? Could you have done that by trying to keep all the laws and all the rules and be a perfect person? No, you couldn't have. You needed a Kairos moment where Jesus died on the cross for you and he prayed for you. And in that moment he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was a Kairos moment where God reached down and he did something supernatural. If you really want a living, meaningful, a life full of accomplishment, full of changing the world, full of powerful truth, you're going to need a God moment. You're going to need something more than time. You're going to need the hand of the Lord to come and touch your life and what you're trying to do. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. I've experienced some God moments. I've experienced healing. I've experienced salvation. I've experienced the moment where he filled me with his Holy Spirit, where I felt his love, where I was used by his Spirit in ways I just didn't even see coming, where I've seen God do the impossible. These are Kairos moments. Do you want a Kairos moment with God? Did you just come today to spend some Kronos time in church? Are you looking at your watch going, wow, he's about done right now? You're looking at Kronos time. I wonder what we're going to do after today. Or did you come for a supernatural moment where the God of all eternity is with you in the present? Are you going to settle for anything else? I tell you what Christians often get wrong is they treat church like a punch card. We come to church, and we came to church this week, and some people think, well, I'm going to have a good week. I went to church. Hey, God, I went to your house today. You know, I'm going to have a good week. And then we let God hear about it if anything bad happens that week. I got a flat tire. Now, God, I went to church on Sunday. Why did this happen? No, church is not about that. Worship was not, it's really interesting, working in church world nowadays, they actually assign the amount of time a song should run. You don't know this because y'all aren't on the inside of this, but like on Planning Center online, it asks you, how long is your song going to be? It's like, well, this song is 3 minutes and 45 seconds. Bloop. And you plug that in, and churches get really wild about this, and especially if they're working with multi-tracks and all that stuff. I don't mean to bore you with this, but churches try to narrow down the exact minute of their service. I know a church, won't call them by name, but I know a church that says, 30-minute express worship service. We'll get you out 30 minutes or less. That was their big ploy. That was their thing. 30 minutes or less. Because it's all about the Kronos, right? Oh my gosh, she's going too long. This song's going too long. Oh my goodness, that person got up and they, instead of just greeting people, they started telling people about what God had done for them. They're taking too long. Let me tell you, it is not about Kronos around here. It is about Kairos. It is not about minutes. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do. My goodness. I want you, Lord. I want your Kairos moments. I want a God moment in this place. We need to start being hungry for God moments. When we're worshiping, that should be a God moment. When you're hearing the word of God, that should be a God moment. And you should be feeling God drawing close. When we're in this altar and we're praying, and we're praying with each other, when we're at our small groups and we're sharing, these should be Kairos moments. When you are fellowshipping with each other, when we're at Mama's Pizzas, because Fluid eats pizzas when he's at Mama's Pizza. It's no longer Mama's Pizza, it's Mama's Pizzas. Praying, I'll pray for gluttony afterwards, but when I'm at Mama's Pizza with you guys, that should be a Kairos moment where we're actually fellowshipping and God is pleased how we treat each other and how we love each other. And he actually is right there in the middle of who we are. That's Kairos. My gosh. Can I have a minute of your time? Can I have a minute of your time? Or can I have a moment where I change everything for you? That's what God's asking today. Do you want a moment where he does supernatural things? Do you want a moment where he heals, where he blesses, where he saves, where he gives you hope in a future? Do you want that? I'm going to ask you this. This is a tough one. I worried about this all week, Kathy. Here it goes. Here it is. Here's the question. Why should God give you a Kairos moment when you've been so unfaithful with your Chronos moments? I want you to just think about that for a moment. Why should God give you a Kairos moment when you have wasted all week your Chronos moments? What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean by that is we come in here, we worship, and we're wanting to feel something from God. We're wanting something from God. We're wanting this encounter with God. We're wanting God to, you know, we bring our problems. We want him to go poof and you know, heal, fix those problems, work a miracle. Absolutely none of that's wrong. But did you worship him last Monday? Tuesday? Did you worship him during the week? Did you take a time that said, God, I want to remind you that I know you're on the throne and I'm just here on earth and I'm created and you are uncreated and you are the Father of all creation and I love you and I'm thankful for you. If you aren't having moments like that, you're wasting some Chronos. Talk about this. Prayer. And I got to tell you, churches today get more excited about worship services than prayer services by a lot. Christians are not people of prayer anymore. That is terrible. But let me ask you this. You're here today. You want a Kairos moment from God. You want God to do something in your life. You're like, God, call me to do something. Great. One day, maybe I could share the word of God from that pulpit. Maybe one day I could be used to do something amazing. That's awesome. God wants to do that. But why should he call you to do that when you haven't learned to use Chronos, some time, natural time, to pray, to talk to him? God, why don't you use me like those people over there? We've all said that. Why can't God use me like that? Well, God can use you like that. But why should he use you like that when you haven't given him a moment of Chronos until Sunday when you strolled in to church? Your Bible. I tell you one thing I hate is a dusty Bible. God, I want to hear from you. I want to know what your will is. I'm worried about this thing. Here's this thing, and you want God to just come and to answer it and do something. Why should he give you a Kairos moment when you've been unfaithful with your Chronos moments? This altar today, at church today, I want to tell you that you don't have to earn a Kairos moment, thankfully, because there's not enough money in the world to earn a God moment. And you aren't good enough to earn a God moment. But what ought to happen is that the God moment then starts to invade all the moments of your life. That one moment with God then invades Monday. And it takes over ground in Tuesday. And suddenly you find yourself at work, but all you can talk about is God. And all you can talk about is what God is doing. And you see problems, and suddenly, well, what do you know? Kairos is showing up because somebody's got a problem, and I am going to pray for them. Suddenly, I'm hungry for the Word of God, and I just take some Chronos time. And how many know if you will just open that Bible, you will end up having a God moment. You will end up having a revelation from God, and you will walk away from that place with joy, with wisdom, and victory, and purpose. Do you want a Kairos moment? Are you willing to sacrifice some Chronos for a Kairos? Remember, Chronos is that linear time. It's ordered time. It's seconds on a clock, minutes on a clock. But Kairos, it's always in the present, and it's always a moment from God and an opportunity. Kairos moments are filled with faith. Somebody say faith. If I were going to take someone in the Bible to talk to them about what faith is, what chapter and verse would I take them to? Thank you. He's on it today. Not only does he know his music history, he knows that we would turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and 1. Read chapter 11 and 1 with me, everyone. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Oh, I love this verse. Kairos moments have an unmistakable confidence in them. I don't know about you, but Kronos has a lot of uncertainty in it. But when God shows up, it's like, whoa, steroids. It's like, I don't know what steroids are, Leroy. Just telling you. Never take them. Obviously. Thanks, Dad. My gosh. Sick burn. All right. When God's Spirit shows up, it gives you confidence. I don't have what it takes, but the Holy Spirit has what it takes. And I felt the Holy Spirit show up and say, and the Holy Spirit just says it. And the Holy Spirit does it. There have been times I've walked out going, my gosh, did I even put two words together? But then somebody comes to me and says, I felt the Spirit so strong. You can be confident in this, that when God is present, He's doing the work. When God is present, miracles happen. When God is present, He takes your weakness and He makes it strong. His strength is perfect in our weakness. I want to tell you that you need Kairos to show up in your life and give you some boldness and some confidence. If you've never shared your faith, it's because you aren't confident enough in sharing your faith with someone. If you've got faith, right? Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Lord of glory. If you aren't sharing your faith, it's because you don't have that confidence. But if a Kairos moment ever shows up in your life, you will feel it stand you up and walk you out, and it will be powerful. Do you want that? Kairos moments have unmistakable confidence and assurance in them. I've been in places where I don't even really understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. But then, my goodness, if God doesn't hit the bullseye, you can be sure when you're in a Kairos moment. When you step out in faith into a Kairos moment, there's nothing like it. When can you start living beyond Kronos? When can that happen? At what moment of your life could you start living beyond just seconds and minutes? And start living in Kairos moments. When could that happen? Well, let's go back to our verse, because it's the first word of our verse. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Show us. What's the first word? Now. You see, that's not a throwaway word. That word's actually there in the Greek. Now, say here. It's not like that. No, it's now faith. Can I tell you that faith never operates in the past? You can't have faith for the past. And I got news for you. Faith doesn't operate in the future. You can't say, well, I believe tomorrow. No, you have to get tomorrow and then have the faith. Because faith only operates in the now. Read it one more time. Now faith is confidence. A faith that is in the now is confident. A faith that is in the now is full of hope, and it's full of assurance. Even when you don't see it, when faith is in the now, you just know that everything is gonna be just fine. We need a now faith. Faith only operates in the now. Kairos is a present tense word. Kairos moments only happen in the now. I know we're living in the day and age of we have movies and shows about time travel and stuff. Faith can't jump into a DeLorean. Marty, we got to save, and faith, we got to have faith in the past. No, Back to the Future didn't work that way. Faith only operates in the present, right now. That means that every moment in the present could be a faith-filled moment. And if you have faith, every moment could be a Kairos moment. Siri, we rebuke you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Kairos is a present word. just like faith is a present word. You can only have a God moment in the present. Are we in the present? Is there a moment? Unless you die, you are always in the present, aren't you? That means you can have that present moment with God always. When you take your kids to the playground, anybody ever take kids to the playground? But you have something to do later. You've taken your kids to the playground, son? Yeah? Okay, you've gone to the playground. That's much better. I was worried. Babies having babies. All right. But you've taken your kids to the playground, but you've got something important to do later. And so what are you doing the whole time? You are looking at the Chronos time. You're like, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. We got to go in 5 minutes. I don't want to go. Just go play. 5 minutes. You're looking at the Chronos time. But your kids, they aren't in the Chronos time. They're in the Kairos time. They're in absolute in the present, living in the present. And they don't even understand 5 minutes, 2 minutes, 10 minutes from now. They don't understand. They're just in the moment. You're worried about what's coming. And I've got to drive all the way across town. And your mom asked that I need to get milk. And I always forget that. I forgot it last time. And she told me about it. And then you're living in Chronos, Chronos, Chronos time. But your kids are in just, they're just, oh my gosh, they never want to leave. That's a Kairos moment. We, with God, need to stop being looking at our watches, looking at the time. Oh, my goodness. Instead, we need to be more like the children in the very presence of God and enjoying everything and living in the now. We're about to come talk to God in this place. If you feel free, you can come right up. And if you've got a special need in your life, I really want you to come right up. I want you to even come to the first 2 feet. We want to pray with you. We're going to believe that this is a Kairos moment. We're going to believe that this is a moment where God can meet your need in a supernatural way. Are you willing to step beyond a Chronos moment and have a present moment with God? For the next moment, could you not look at your watch, but could you be present with him? Maybe just worship him. Just be in his presence. What can God do for you in this present moment? What can he do for you right now? I'm going to pray for you, and then I want to pray with somebody in this altar today. I want to see God do something powerful in someone's life. Father, in Jesus' name, everyone in this room, everyone watching, listening online, Father, I pray right now that they would have a moment with you, where they would have a now faith moment, a Kairos moment. God, you've been convicting of us of how we've been using our time. Lord, let us repent of it right now. Let us start using our time diligently serving you, diligently serving others, diligently loving you, diligently seeking you, God. But more than just time on a clock, God, let us have moments with you where you speak to us, moments with you where you lead us, moments with you where you give us revelation, where you show us how you truly feel about us. Lord, give us a Kairos moment. Lord, let us be in such a Kairos moment, Lord, where we then could minister to someone else, Lord, where we could operate in faith, God. Lord, where we could pray for someone and they receive something from you, God, in that moment. Lord, we want you. We want you right now. We love you right now. We thank you right now. Right now, I want to give you my heart. Right now, I want to give you my life. I want to give it to you right now. I love you in Jesus' name. Come on, church. Let's reach out to the Lord in this place. Let's worship him in this house. Let's experience his Kairos presence in this place right now. Thank you, Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.